Maybe there may be some that I don't know in this congregation and you don't know me, so I'll just introduce myself a little bit. My name is Alan Fox, and about every 3 years, my wife Sylvia and I come to the United States to report to certain congregations that support us in the work there in South Africa, particularly Johannesburg. Well, last year we couldn't make it because I ended up in hospital. I had what they call a brain aneurysm, and a growth on my brain which they had to cut off. I told them, you cut that off, you're going to cut off some nerves, but they wouldn't listen. They cut it off, and then I had to learn to walk again and learn to talk again and learn to do all kinds of things. And, well, it's a long story, but I don't want to bore you with all the details. Now, eventually, I tried to escape, but I wasn't very successful. Eventually, they let me go home, and I went home and recovered, and then my wife took me for some therapy sessions where I learned to walk again and talk again and so on. And then I said to her, well, I would like to come with, I would like to go to those churches that we couldn't make to go to last year, just to say thank you. You know, I could have just written an email and on the email, just send the email out to everyone and said, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your financial support and so on. Because you know, when you're lying in bed there, you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know how the mortgage is being paid, how, whether there's any food in the house or your wife is being supported or what. But brethren have been very kind. You know, 3 John, the writer says, beloved, you do faithfully what you do for the brethren and for strangers. And that's how I felt about the congregations that just kept sending, sending support to us, even while I was in the hospital. So I said, I'd like to visit them again and just say thank you. Because there's a big difference between saying thank you in person and just saying thank you on a letter. And then I have the opportunity now to also present a lesson here with you, and I'm very grateful for that. Well, there's one thing, I can now walk and talk and everything like that because my wife was my therapist. She doesn't let you get away with anything. My biggest challenge was walking heel to toe. That was very terrible. My daughter came in and she said, Dad, you're not doing a good job. I said, you try it. And she'd never been in hospital. And she said, oh, this is difficult. I said, yeah, it's very difficult. The same happened to our therapist also. My therapist, well, I had a stroke on the left side and she was teaching me to exercise my hand to catch a tennis ball with my left. And I kept on dropping the thing, and she tried to catch it with her left hand, and it dropped also. So I said, you see, it's not so easy. Yeah. Well, I am the evangelist that works with several congregations in the Johannesburg area. I work mainly with Brixton, which is not far from our broadcasting corporation. And then I also work with a, a smaller congregation on the east end of Johannesburg called Kwatema. It's in Springs. And then I go to another congregation and preach there once a month at Brakpan congregation. And that's a privilege to me as well. Now my purpose at Brixton has changed a bit. I used to do most of the preaching there, but now I steer the young men. They're doing a wonderful job. Steer the young men along as they go preaching. The other day, one of them sent me a message and said, we're standing at the gate of the church building and handing out tracts and inviting people in, and that is very good. And another brother went to go, I think it's about 1.5 hours or so away, to go and teach someone else and baptize him. He baptized him, and then he wrote me a letter and told me that. I said, thank you for sharing such good news with me. That is very encouraging, because I taught this man and he grew up and now he's doing this work. I'm so happy about that. You see, every so often one changes from being single to being married, from being a young man to being a father, and then you become a grandpa, and hopefully one day I'll be a great-grandpa. So your roles in life change as you go along. And so it is with Brixton also. The young men are now mostly doing the work, and I'm steering them in the right direction. I'm hoping, and I said to them, I'm longing for about within 5 years for them to get to a point where I can appoint them as elders at Brixton Congregation. That is the purpose of, one of the purposes of an evangelist, to appoint elders. Titus 1 verse 5, Paul said this to Titus, for this reason I left you at Crete, that you may set in order the things that are wanting and appoint elders in every city, you see. So that's what an evangelist should do. Now, obviously, when you do that as an evangelist, you probably work yourself out of a job, but what can you do? You just have to be nice to the elders, and then they'll take you into service again. These people at Brixton are really fantastic Christians, I tell you. People there never even stop praying, and I know many people that know me here, like Joe and Sandra and others that have known of us, have continued with their prayers. And you know, God says in the scriptures that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so here is God sitting and he's getting prayers from this side and prayers from this side. And then he says, okay, I'll let him live some more. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for praying for me and helping us with support where you have and so on, where you could. Maybe some of you didn't even know about it, but that is my story as an introduction. I would also like to share a piece of God's word with you. What I'd like you to do is to go to Genesis chapter 19. But first I'm going to read Psalm 15 to you as an introduction to that lesson. So if you turn to Genesis 19, that's where our main lesson will come from. But let me first read Psalm 15 to you. It's a psalm of David, and David said, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And then he gives the answer as well. He says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. So we know that if we want to dwell with God in his holy hill, then we've got to get ourselves into a position where we are a genuine asset to God. And, you know, as God said about Job when Satan came to him, he said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" So he will say about each one of us, "Have you seen my servant so and so and so and so? He does everything that I've told him to do." And God can be proud of us. Of course, Job went through many things, but in the end, God blessed him doubly for keeping to his integrity, holding fast to his integrity, and Job was blessed by God. Okay, now jump to Genesis chapter 19. That's where our lesson is really from. Now, Genesis chapter 19 is one of those chapters that I find very interesting. You know, it's a long chapter, so I'm just going to summarize some of the main points to you. There was a man by the name of Abram. His name was later on changed to Abraham. And he had a nephew by the name of Lot. And of course, we know the story goes that Abraham's servants quarreled with Lot's servants, and they had to part company. And Abraham said, "Lot, look, let's not fight. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the east, I go to the west," and so on. And Lot looked, and he saw the valley where Sodom and Gomorrah was a valley well watered, and he had lots of flocks. So he said, "Okay, I'll go this way." And Abraham said, "All right, I'll go this way." Now, whenever we read the scriptures and we find that a man who dwells in a house is less blessed than a man who dwells in a tent, I think of Abraham and Lot. Lot then went into Sodom, and when we meet him again, we find that Lot is sitting out in the, as we would call it, a park, where are his flocks and his servants and all of that. I don't know what happened to them, but he has a wife now, and he has two daughters at least, and he lives in Sodom. And the people of Sodom didn't really like Lot very much, because they said, "This one, now he came in yesterday and now he wants to tell us how to rule ourselves," after Lot told them not to do such ugly things that they wanted to do. Well, the angels of God came to Abraham and said, "You know, God is going to destroy Sodom." And Abraham pleaded with God, and God said, "All right, Abraham, if you can find me a certain number of righteous men in Sodom, then I won't destroy it." But of course, there wasn't. You see, the moral of that story is that you cannot take the righteousness of somebody else and impute it to the righteous. My children can't be saved because I'm a Christian. Or they can't say, "I've gone to church because so then I went to church." No, they themselves have to go to church. You can't take somebody else's righteousness, only Christ. You can't take somebody else's righteousness, put it on somebody else, and think you can save them. It doesn't work that way. Okay, yeah, these angels in the city of Sodom, and they tell Lot to get out of the city because God is going to destroy it. Now, the story really revolves, that I want to talk to you about, really revolves around Lot's wife. I like the fact that the clock is at the back, because I always say to people what Jesus said. Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She looked back. Now, don't look back in the clock, because you must remember Lot's wife. That's why I like it being there. And also, I said to Joe, my wristwatch is on South African time. I'm sorry, brethren. I'll just take all the time I need, isn't it? And you can't fight with me because of that. Okay, here was Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and the angel said to rush him out of the city, and he said, go get out of the city because I cannot destroy the city before you are out of it. They ran along, and here was Lot and his two daughters and ran to a little city, and his wife was behind, and the angel told them, don't look back as you run. Well, she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. We all know that story, right? Now comes the question that we have this story in our minds. Now we must ask ourselves, why did she look back? Because that's an important thing. And I came up with a couple of scenarios that could possibly have been the case. I would like you to think about what Lot's wife and why she looked back. One of the things is that, number one, she had no faith in God. God said to her, don't look back. Now, I hope that we are that way as well. We don't need to know every little reason, every little detail. If God says, don't go there, Alan, then I must not go there, regardless of what I know, whether it is good or bad. I don't know whether sorcery is, what do they call it, Ouija board, whether it really works, but I'm not going to try that, because I've got the Bible tells me, refrain from every appearance of evil. You see, so I stay away from things like that. I don't go to a sorcerer or something like that, or fortune teller or whatever, because I just don't know. But God said, stay away from those things, Alan. Just believe in me. So that's what we do. We just stay away. And she had more trust in herself. But you know what God says in Isaiah chapter 55? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so are my thoughts greater than your thoughts and higher than your thoughts. It's not the same. I can try and reason out what God will do. You know, I've said very often and thought, how is God going to... Have you ever thought about that? How is God going to raise people from the dead? And people often ask me that question. Yes, someone that was eaten by a lion, then someone that was eaten by a shark, and another one that was cremated and so on, another one is dead for a long time. The Apostle Paul and all those apostles, they're dead for about 2,000 years. How's God going to? Well, if God can make a person out of thin air, then suddenly he can raise up anyone. It doesn't matter what happened to you, whether you were eaten by a lion or eaten by a shark or whatever, he can raise you up. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. So we must remember that. The second point that was possible was that her, and we know, we can tell that her past was more important to her than her future. You know, we'll call her Mrs. Lot. Mrs. Lot was very concerned about things that happened in her past. Maybe, who knows, maybe she owned some property there in Sodom and she was thinking about the property and looking back. We don't know. And we all know that she probably looked back because we all know that you cannot send a man to do a woman's job. It doesn't work that way. Men only think of one thing at a time, not many things. Women think of five different things. You know, they drive a car and put on lipstick and eyeshadow and all of it and so on. So she knew that she couldn't send a husband. So maybe that's the reason why she looked back. Maybe she looked back because she had more confidence in where she came from than where she went to. After all, Lot just came to her and said, we've got to go. I mean, just think about it. You go to your wife and you say, all right, we have to leave our house now. We have to go. How do you know that, Lot? Well, some men who didn't even have a place to stay at, sitting in the park, told me that we have to leave the city. Would you go? You see, wives don't just follow what their husband says. They want to know why. You can ask me, I know. They want to know why. And if your wife, like my wife, is your nurse or your therapist, boy, you've got to explain. You just don't get away with things, just say, let's go. No, it doesn't work like that. She's not going to go. That's why the angel had to take them by the hand and lead them out of the city before God destroyed them with the city as well. She knew where she came from, but she did not know where she was going to. That's most of our problem as well, isn't it? I know where I came from, and I can go back to that place where I was born, but where I'm going to, now that's something else. I don't know, and I'm not going there. And that's how most of us feel. I'm not going to the future because I don't know what's happening there. So that could have been a problem. And a very important problem with her is that she did not keep up with Lot and his daughters. That is a terrible thing. You know, a young man and his wife and children used to arrive late at church. And when you ask this young man, why are you late? He would say, my wife made me late. And he said, one day I'm going to leave her and I'm going to come early. Well, I said to him, a wife left behind will look behind. Just think about it. If you leave your wife behind, she'll look behind. And that's not a good thing. Because when they do, brings us to the next point, they don't keep up with the husband and the children. She had to leave the rearing of her daughters up to Lot, and he made a mess of it. We know what happened. As a result of him, other nations came into existence that plagued the Israelites. So, you know, wives must be careful. Wives are the glue. Wives are the glue that bind the whole household together. If the wife goes out of the house, then all the adhesion goes out of the house as well. I know what I'm talking about. I am married. I know. If my wife is not there, things just... everything is still in place there, but it doesn't work. Something is missing. Well, it's her not being there, you see, to take charge of everything. And she can take charge. And now, the most important thing about Lot's wife that we all remember is that she became a pillar of salt. Have you ever thought about that? What does a pillar do? A pillar stands still. You don't see a pillar moving around here, there, and everywhere. It stands on one spot. And in Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So what is the salt that Jesus was talking about? It's your influence, of course. Now, here was Lot's wife standing as a person. She had a lot of influence, but it was all centered in herself. It wasn't with her daughters, it wasn't with her husband. And so off her daughters and husband went to that little town and then to the mountains and got into all kinds of trouble while she stood and her influence just blew away. You see, that's what happens when you're not at home. Your influence just blows away. So wives must be very careful. They must not become salt of the earth. While you try and influence other people, your neighbors and so on, your own household goes to smithereens. I am reminded of a story where the wife was so interested with this neighbor's washing on the line, and she said, "Ooh, those women's washing always has spots on and she doesn't wash it properly." And the husband one day stood up, got up very quietly, and he washed the windows, and the wife came and she looked through it and she said, "Oh, the woman got her washing right now." Well, it was, you see, it's because she didn't take care of her house that she thought the fault was with the other woman. No, it's what women are supposed to be, the glue that keeps the house together. Without them, they have a problem. Okay, now I want you just to read Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And on that point, I'm going to end my lesson. Luke 9, verse 62. Just listen to what the Bible says there. Luke 9, verse 62. "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Just like Lot's wife, she looked back, and you and I, once we've said, "Here's my hand, Lord, I will work for you." The Lord says, "I don't want you looking behind, you must look forward." Christianity is a religion of optimism. Don't think about how nice it was in the past. Just look forward and go forward. Paul also says, "I press on and I carry on to that high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We go forward, we don't go back. It's easy for us. You know, there's a saying that says, "Hind vision is 20/20. 20/20 vision is hind vision." So you can see things very clearly, but you must have faith to take up the future. And that's what God requires from us. Because Hebrews 11 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We must have faith in God. It's either God or our possessions, our wealth. You see, one of the two. And God said, and Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can just serve one master. And both of them require something that starts with F. With God, it's faith that is required. With wealth, it's fortune. You must have, you know, it's no use trying to say, "I depend on my money," when you just have $2. It doesn't work like that. You must have lots of money. Then you can say, "I depend on my money." Well, I hope that we won't look back like Lot's wife. We'll just carry on, and our influence will be amongst our loved ones. Otherwise, they get into trouble. Wives, this lesson is especially for you, because you are the glue, you are the cement in the home. And without you, we just fall apart, we men. We don't know what we're doing. Thank you very much.